A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are a lot of entry points into this text. And I don't really know which one of them would be best for a week like what we have experienced. But I know this, just about everything in this text assures that if we say to ourselves there's nothing that the church can do, we are dismissing the power of God. Period. If we say that there's nothing that the followers of Jesus can do about all the hurt that's going on in our country right now, even as we sit here right now, then we are dismissing the power and the call of Christ and acting as if none of this matters for this world, that it's all about dying and going to heaven, and that's a lie of the devil. For Jesus wants people to be changed now, people to have life now, be transformed now, to be filled with faith, hope, and love now. This is not about tomorrow, it's about today. And the giving of God's Spirit was about right then in that moment. And right then in that moment, when the Spirit was poured out and came like a violent rushing wind, Not everybody in the room was Jewish. Not everybody in the street was Jewish. Not everybody that Peter preached to was sympathetic to his cause. In fact, the way I read the text, just about every race known to them was mentioned. Every major population center known to them was represented. And they all heard what Peter said in their own language. Who are we to say that God cannot empower us to speak to what's going on now? Who are we to make excuses for why we can't be involved? Who are we to make excuses for why people have allowed this to go on as long as it has? Who are we to say, well, I have some black friends? Who are we to say it's not my fault? Who are we to say anything other than, Lord, enable us to make a difference? Because, dear ones, that is the reason the church exists. Otherwise, if it was all about you getting your ticket punched so you don't have to go to hell, then Jesus would kill you as soon as you believed in him and take you out of the earth. But the explicit language of the New Testament is that you are saved for the works prepared for you to do in this world. Works of mercy and love and reconciliation. For that is the specific ministry given to the church. Don't believe me? Google it. It'll send you to the text where that verse is. From the lips of the Apostle Paul, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Whose job is it? Whose job is it to speak of the peace of Christ in the world? President? A governor or a mayor? It's the church. It's our job. It's our place. It's our purpose. It's our mission. If we don't do that, there's no reason for us to worry about getting back together in person. We're not going to speak and listen. If we're not going to be sympathetic to the hurts of God's people, there's no point in us doing any of this. And if we're going to dismiss the power that God has given us to act, God help us. We're taking the death and resurrection of Jesus for granted and assuming that it's all about me. How shallow and horrible is that? You have likely heard of the Nobel Peace Prize. Y'all heard of that?
Yes.
Seen it on TV. There are many years when no one won. You can Google that too. When a group of people could not find a single individual who had exhibited deep effort in bringing about peace, even in a local community. And the award was not given. It's ironic, isn't it? What's more ironic is who it's named after. Alfred Nobel was a contractor. He invented dynamite. His contribution to the world was the bomb. It's first used in the Franco-German War. He recognized the problem with nitroglycerin, and if you've ever seen a John Wayne movie, you know the problem with nitroglycerin. If it shakes, it blows up. So he put partner, you remember what that was, put diatomaceous earth and nitroglycerin and made a putty out of it that caused it to be more stable. And then he put it in a cardboard tube. And then he put a blasting cap on the end of it made out of gunpowder. And then he put a fuse on it. And if he lit the fuse, the blasting cap would explode and the shock wave from the blasting cap would drive through that putty he had made and he'd make the nitroglycerin go off. And you've seen Clint Eastwood throw sticks at that stuff. I don't have to tell you what happens, right? There was power in it. Power in it. And he saw that power in it. And so it came to be known by the Greek word for power that's in Jesus' promise to the church. Dunamis. In Acts 1:8, after Peter and the boys said to Jesus, "Hey man, is it now you're going to restore the kingdom to the Jewish people? Is it now you're going to restore Israel? Is it now you're going to give us rule over ourselves again? Is it now you're going to restore our political party to power?" And Jesus said this to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power, dunamis, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I want you to know, I want you to see that what was Jesus' concern here was not that Peter and the boys had gotten their ticket punched so they didn't have to go to hell. Is that they were being equipped to be sent into the world to announce the defeat of sin and death and to do something about how sin and death strangles the rest of humanity. To announce the good news of Jesus, that we can in fact live together in love. And when we refuse to do that, when we make excuses for it, when we talk about people behind their backs, when we make shady little commentary and racist jokes, we are in fact denying what Jesus has done, not just for us, but for those people whom we see as less than us. And if you and I, in my spirit, can think of another human being as less than I am, then personally, I found doubt that the Spirit is truly guiding my life. What salvation can I possibly have if I look at another person and judge them because of their skin color? If I can arrest them, have them on the ground, put my knee in their neck, what can I possibly know about the love of Jesus Christ? Anything? It is in fact a complicit denial of that love. When we watch what's happening and we lug peaceful people in with people who are destroying and ignore the fact that many of the people who are destroying are in fact white people, and instead talk about the thugs and all this kind of stuff and things that people are saying, it's all code word for we're better than that. What can we possibly know of the love of Jesus if what we are seeing does not inflict our soul? It hurts. But Jesus said, "I will give you power to be my witnesses." Not witnesses to what we think is right, not witnesses to how we think people should feel, but witnesses to the one who came to heal the hurt and the rift of sin and death that's in the world. Power, he said, "I put dynamite in you." But too often the church walks around as if we've been filled with feathers, afraid to say anything. Some people say, "Be careful, we might lose our tax-exempt status." Well, maybe the church should be paying taxes so that we can be free to speak truth. Maybe it's time we stopped being so concerned about our privilege and our power and our place and remembered that the King of the universe came and gave himself over to nothingness as an example for us of how we should live. That is exactly what he meant when he said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Follow me into giving up your life for others. And dear ones, if the church says it can't do that, then it's not the church of Jesus of Nazareth. Power. Dynamite. When Alfred Noble saw what his invention was capable of doing, that's what he called it. He called it power. It can be misused. It can be strewn about in an effort to determine who's in and who's out. But the power of God is love. It always has been and it always will be. Later in his life, Alfred's brother died. And a French newspaper took up to write Alfred Nobel's brother's obituary and instead wrote one for Alfred. And in that obituary, they called him the Merchant of Death. And it shook him. And so he decided that he would do something to improve his legacy, is how I read it. You hear that? Not do something to change the world, but to improve his legacy. And so he left part of his estate to the founding of the Nobel Prizes. And so the Nobel Peace Prize is really just an attempt of a dead person to stroke their ego. That's not the kind of power God wants us to wield. Nobel believed that his factories could solve the problem of war in the world because if he could find a way to invent just so precise of a weapon that it could cause the annihilation of another army, and if both armies had that, then each country would acquiesce and say, we fight no more. And that, dear ones, is a theory of life that human beings have been living with for a long time. And that's exactly what we're doing when we try to destroy one another with rhetoric on Twitter and Facebook. We're trying to find a bigger bomb to inflict silence on our enemies and those who disagree with us. And it is not the way of Christ. It is the way of the devil. It is the way of sin and the way of death. It has nothing to do with the power that God has given the church to be a force of love in the world. A force of light in the world, a force of hope. The last thing the church should ever do is say, we can't do anything about it. We are unable to make a change. Because, dear ones, we are filled with the power of God. The power of God, the strength of God, the ability of God. Dunamis means all three of those things. And Jesus was saying, I'm sending it to you. Not so that you can be important. Not so you can decide what goes on in the world, but so that you can be my witnesses. All too often, the church has forgotten that our purpose is not to huddle away from the world, but to go into the world and be witnesses to the world of the difference that knowing Jesus makes. The Spirit of God is given to you for that purpose. All this week, my friend Clemente Pinckney has haunted my thoughts. Because I remember thinking, when I learned that Dylann Roof had attended church services somewhere, I wondered, did anyone ever stop by him and ask him if he was okay? Did anyone ever call him out on his jokes or his quips or his racist undertones? Did anybody ever call him out on his black jokes or Jewish jokes or whatever he told? Did anybody ever call him out on his thinking? Did anyone ever tell him about a Jewish man named Jesus who died for him? Did anybody ever tell him that he could be freed from the sin and death and the hatred that was consuming him? Did anybody ever offer him anything that sounded like grace? Did anybody ever offer him love or friendship? Did anybody ever attempt to nurture him in something other than the hate that he was consuming? We can look at that situation and say, well, it's all that young man's fault, but it's not. It's the church's fault. We didn't do our job. And every time sin takes dignity away from human beings, it is a reminder that the church still has work to do. That might make some people mad, but I really don't care. It's the truth. I believe that the good news of Jesus Christ has the power to transform the most sin-sick soul that's alive today. I believe that. I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the Spirit of God can renew anyone, even the most hate-filled murderer. I believe that Jesus' power is unlimited. And I believe that Jesus is still at work in the world. And I believe that he wants to be at work in the world through his church. And I believe that the church is able because of Pentecost. And if you believe that, dear ones, if you believe that the church is able to answer the call of Jesus in a way that people who are bound up in hate can be set free, if you believe that the church of Jesus has had the power of God poured out into it to effect change in this world, to be his witnesses, the only question left is, will you be his witness? If you believe that we are able, do you believe that we're willing? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I sincerely hope that our answer to that question is yes. Because too much is at stake. Amen.